Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short of brown around, oh, we're queer. I've got a feeling we are onto something here.
King's Place in London, the Spotted Edge Shop presents Global Pillage, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
And if you're worried, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I've got a feeling we're gonna be okay.
Deborah Frances White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show where we metal detect the whole planet for the treasure known as comedy gold. And who better to mine for these nuggets than today's comedians? All from the brilliant new podcast, Grown Up Land. Full declaration, that's also made by us. On my left, playing for...
the motherfucking winners!
Playing for the motherfucking winners, Mae Martin and Bisha K. Alley. And on my right, playing for... serial winners, Steve Halley and Tez Ilias.
That's cool, guys.
So, motherfucking winners.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Bisha K. Alley, what makes you diverse?
I'm diverse because I can't ride a bike, I can't swim, and boats are bad. I have to think about boats.
Fish is like the world's worst triathlete.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do a documentary called Triathlon, but it's like T-R-Y, Triathlon.
Oh, that's
and then
good.
I have to try and do stuff, but every episode is just me crying into a cup of noodles.
Mae Martin.
Yo.
How are you diverse?
I don't know. I'm pretty gay. I don't know. I can't skip. Like,
what?
Are we saying just things we can't do?
No, that's just Bisha's...
Bisha set the precedent.
She's done the show before, so she's
I'm
trying
over
to
it.
Come
I'm
up with it. New ways of saying she's diverse. You're Canadian as well.
I'm half Canadian, grew up there. Yeah, very patriotic about it.
We've got some Canadians
in. I'm not being sarcastic. It sounded like I was.
Yeah, it really did.
But we've got Justin Trudeau. I feel good about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And motherfucking winners, you are both regulars on Grown Up Land,
yeah.
Our new BBC Radio 4 podcast.
But me and Bisha are incredibly competitive, and so that's why we had to be on the same team, because otherwise our friendship is at risk. So
right, okay.
We're both insanely
so you'll either win or lose together tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And serial winners, how are you diverse, Tezilius? You are actually the only non-Grown Up Land person here because we needed to make up the numbers. But he's going to be a really good guest really soon. And now this has cemented his guesthood on Grown Up Land. How are you diverse, Tez?
I am Asian, but not like East Asian. Like not the cool kind of Asian. The brown kind of Asian. Just for listeners of America and Australia, just to clarify. I'm also Muslim, and I am Northern. Thank you. And I am working class. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of vegetarian from working class people there.
That's quite diverse at King's Place.
And I support Blackburn Rovers Football Club.
That didn't get any cheers, did
nothing.
It? I don't
deservedly
think
it's... So.
It's not that they don't like the football club. It's just that there is zero Venn diagram crossover between this audience and football fans. You're literally... Anybody who is a football fan cheer? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm wrong. I've misjudged them. Steve Alley, how are you diverse?
I am from Syria. I think I'm the most serious between you guys here with a Y again because I'm not very funny. I'm a bit intimidated by that.
You are funny, Steve.
You're so funny.
Steve, you're a regular on BBC Radio 4 podcast made by the Lady Shop, Grown Up Land. I don't know if we've mentioned that before. You've got a regular comedy slot on that, so do you mind just not publicly saying I'm not funny? Because it really undermines the whole brand.
All right. I am funny sometimes, especially on Grown Up Land. Tez just made me aware of something. I am Asian in some way, but when I don't find my category. I once went on NHS to register, and I didn't find my category because...
On the tick the boxes.
It says, yes, I go on other because... It doesn't say Arabs there, I think. Syrians aren't Arabs anyway. We only joined the Arab countries like about 60 years ago.
Really?
So I'm always confused about that.
So what are you? What are you? What?
I don't know.
60 years ago, what box did you check before the...
I wasn't there.
Oh, sure. Sure.
That was us. That was the Brits that did that. Lawrence of Arabia. That was us. That was our fault. Split up the Ottoman Empire. And now he's an Arab. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, mate.
I'm very sorry. Keeping a voracious eye on our veracity in Pedant's Corner, please applaud for Ned Sedgwick from our new hit podcast, Grown Up Lands. Ned, have you had any conversations this week of an international or global flavour?
Well, it wasn't this week, but I've got a certain Syrian friend who...
Is that Steve Alley?
Might be. who once told me that I should grow a beard because I'd look good in it. And now he looks like an idiot because I grew a beard and I look better than him.
So. And if that isn't enough of a feast for your mind, bringing us his very own homemade specialty of sweet, sweet music to your ears, please welcome Mark Hodge. For every episode of Global Pillage, Mark scours all the cultures of this earth for inspiration and then hand whittles us a special theme tune. Over to you, Mark.
This was written in 1920 and it was adopted as a civil rights song. So it's based originally on a Negro spiritual, then it became a sort of a Sunday school song, then a civil rights song. You will know it. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We're gonna use that as our jingle. Steve Alley looks like he just got out of bed. Tell us what are the scores, please, Ned. Okay,
great.
And that'll work.
Okay. First up is our themed round. And this week, we'll be asking questions on the subjects of shots fired. And by that, I mean games and weaponry. Sadly, we haven't got a whole round about that night I tried a flaming Sambuca. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. In Bhutanese archery contests, what role do proverbs play? The motherfucking winners.
You have to say one once you fire your bow.
Do you get more points if you've correctly said your proverb as well as hit the target?
No.
It's just about style.
It's all about style.
Like,
yeah.
Pow. Life is a stream.
It's the equivalent
get
of
the thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's the equivalent of like in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, how he might go like, "You've just been erased," and then shoot.
Right.
But you're shooting wisdom.
Shooting wisdom.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Serial winners. I heard your buzzer go off.
The referee.
Oh, that's
said, what says a proverb.
Yeah,
definitely. The proverbs themselves.
Yeah.
Steve, good knowledge. We
discussed it already.
Yeah, I'm really glad you looked you up this week as well. So what it is when the offender lets off their bow, depending on how good or bad the shot is, the referee will do an appropriate proverb.
So imagine I've shot or I've missed the target by quite a way.
Oh, you are as blind as a vole in the dark.
I'd rather shoot high and miss.
Oh, okay. I'd rather shoot high and miss. Mm-hmm. These guys would be great referees. You've got another answer, the motherfucking winners?
Just to add it to the pot. I think it's like the opening ceremony. So before you start, you say like a proverb, be like, love one another, May Martin and Bishop Kehaly will win. And then the game begins.
Right. Okay. All right. Hive mind. In Bhutanese archery contests, what roles do proverbs play? They're written on the arrow.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I like that answer.
The teams now want to join the hive mind. Right. They're defecting. Written on the arrow.
What about written on the target? Ooh.
Is that for the hive mind? Because you've had your go. So I'm putting that down. He's offered that to you. Written on the target. Thank you. Okay.
All these white people appropriating my answers. What is going on? Jesus.
Written on the target. I'm afraid due to the strict rules of the game, you have offered that into their pot. Okay. Anything else? The sports commentators, so the people in the box, the sort of John McEnroe and Sue Barker, do proverbs.
Is there anyone we've left out in the sporting arena that could do a proverb?
All right, if you think it's written on the arrow, buzz now. Written on the target, buzz now. No one went for your answer in the end, Tez, there. Sports commentators sit in the box doing proverbs. Buzz now. Okay, you've gone for written on the arrow. In fact, the wives of competing archers use proverbs as insults to put off the opposition.
So what?
They're heckles. Nice. They're heckles. Ned, can you tell us any more about this?
It says quite a lot about my life, but when I put this question in, I was like, God, this is on the Wikipedia page, so it's quite an easy one. Someone has probably read the Bhutanese archery Wikipedia page. And then I realised I've got more free time than other people. They tend to be slightly sordid, these proverbs.
Heckles,
I'll give you an example and see if you can pick up the sexual undertones in this.
Thank you for the warning.
Yeah. Anytime, Bishop. Lips sheltered in a black beard, in aimless flight, his shaft will not hit the mark once.
So the proverb is basically you're bad in bed.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to hit this and you're not going to hit anything else.
Wow. I love these Bhutanese women. I want to go there just to do that. There's a documentary in that.
What Steve forgot to mention is that the referees are all women.
Are they the wives of...
Yes, as well, yes. They're the wives of the competitors.
That's not what it says on my card.
That was what we forgot to add.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, you forgot to add it and therefore we'll be getting no points. When hunting in Germany, what would you use small twigs or leaves for? The motherfucking winners.
Like a Hansel and Gretel style trail so that you don't get lost? Or if people can find you if you get killed by a boar or some kind of... eagle.
You put leaves down in the forest.
You leave a little trail so you can...
They're not easy to find in the forest. Because leaves are in the forest anyway. It's a poor trail, isn't it? Is it this way or this way? There's leaves everywhere here.
Yeah. I feel like we didn't confer on this one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be helpful, but that is a poor plan for anybody hoping to be found.
Because you don't want to out yourself to the animals. Like if a boar sees a trail of... whatever, breadcrumbs. It's going to be like, someone's been here. Someone's after me. But if it sees there's some small twigs.
All right, well, we've got an answer from serial winners.
Yeah, I feel like we're cheating because we do actually know this one. So what they do with the twigs is, in Germany, they make... It's really quite dark, actually. What they do is they make a swastika to attract racist animals, who they then kill. And they then kill the racist animals for being racist.
Maybe they use them to... You just eat them to calm your hunger pangs if you didn't chant anything.
Or that.
So they're either used to attract only racist, fascist animals because they're the only ones you want to catch because you're an ethical hunter.
Yeah, so then,
they're used as tasty snacks to sustain you between now and when you hunt that animal.
If you didn't hunt anything.
Sure.
If there were no racist animals in the woods that day.
The motherfucking winners, do you have anything else?
Yeah, for sure.
Just, I'll take anything that'll change the subject at the moment, to be honest.
I felt that. I buzzed it a lot. I think they build little... I think there's a vegan revolution. And I think they're building little homes for the animals instead and saying, hey, welcome to the homes. And they're made of twigs and leaves and love.
And so they're building little twig huts. All right.
Yeah.
To hide traps.
No, for love. No.
Well, Bisha thinks it's for vegan reasons and you think it's to hide traps. Okay.
That's why we're not on the same team.
Like in cartoons when they put the twigs on it.
Yeah, it's to hide traps.
It's to hide traps.
I'm afraid it's too late to say hide traps because the other team just said hide traps.
Yeah, I know.
And it was very clear you were copying their answer.
Okay,
hive mind. To hide traps. Okay, we've had that, so you will have to split the points.
Camouflage.
Jesus.
That was... Hide traps, camouflage. Anything else?
Intense toilet paper.
Oh, wow.
Intense loo paper. Okay.
Little catapults.
Little catapults.
God, it is so stressful.
Lots of ideas.
The audience is funnier than us. It is so stressful. Yeah. You guys are...
Well, part of the reason I want to do this show is there's this sort of myth that there's like only like 12 white men who can do comedy panel shows, and we demonstrate that any fucking audience can do it, to be honest. It's not... Any of you could go on QI tomorrow, you'd be fine. Yes, what was that?
Check wind direction.
Wow.
That's
we just throw it in the air and be like,
isn't that the kind of answer Stephen Fry would admire?
Isn't that what Rafiki in The Lion King has? Like, Rafiki has a bunch of dust and sticks and he tells of like tea leaves. Reads the twigs.
Reads the twigs.
Anything else?
Leave
them on the wound as a sign of respect to the animal.
Oh, so if I killed
you, shooting them in the head.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I put your flag in the bullet hole.
All right. Are we done? Hide traps, Buzz. Now.
No, that doesn't count. They can't have
camouflage. They would get fuel points. Camouflage. Camouflage. Intense loo paper, Buzz. Now. You can't buzz if you're not in the hive mind. You are interfering with their perfect score. Little catapults, buzz now.
Yeah.
Check wind direction, buzz now. Or leave on the wounds for respect, buzz now. That got the fewest buzzers, but actually that's the closest.
What?
They are placed in the mouths of dead animals to represent their last meal. So that was the closest. Sir.
Yeah,
did you know that? Do you kind of knew it? Why didn't you say you knew it? Okay, but you suspected.
Yeah, I say that about all my answers, mate.
You knew it was something to do with that.
Oh, I knew it was that. I just didn't
when
say
they
it
mocked
right.
you, you should have said, back me, yeah. Like, I might know this. Yeah. So, Ned, can you tell us
anything
more
about
this?
If only white men were more kind of forceful with their opinions. The one thing that we need. That poor guy.
Okay, so why would you need a bow and arrow if you were getting married in China?
To protect yourself from the in-laws.
Protect yourself from the in-laws, okay?
If you see some of the in-laws out there in that part of the world, it's very scary. So I've read, actually, in the Art of War, chapter 7.4, that on marriage, do bring a bow and arrow in case your father-in-law is the emperor.
Or in case you end up in a Bhutanese archery context.
Right, yes, of course. You may need it for insults. The motherfucking winners?
Well, we think it's how you deliver the rings.
You deliver the rings on a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
So you say, does the best man have the rings? And then he just shoots the rings.
No, not even. The jeweler. The guy who made the
jeweler.
That's just how they deliver in...
Okay, it goes into a post and then you have to pull it off and get the rings off.
But it's kind of a romantic thing. It's like when you have to shoot an apple off the head of a loved one.
it's a trust thing. That feels like a Cupid situation.
Yeah.
Okay, winners, do you have anything else?
Actually, I've just remembered what it actually is. It's an elaborate Chinese version of Take Me Out. So instead of buzzing, instead of switching the red lights off, you just actually shoot the person you don't want to go on a date with.
Right, okay.
And marry the person at the end.
So like a reverse bachelor, instead of a rose, you just shoot the ones you don't like.
Yes.
It's kind of a Take Me Out meets Hunger Games.
I would watch that.
I know you would.
Everyone would watch it, but it would be wrong to do so, like so much television. Do you have something else again?
No, I'm just solidarity with Bisha's answer.
Oh, okay, right. If you're listening at home, Tez is raising his left arm in solidarity, almost like a political statement.
It's from The Hunger Games.
Is it for The Hunger Games? Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Young people know all the current pop culture references, like The Hunger Games, only came out 7 years ago. So.
I saw it, but I don't remember anything except Jennifer Lawrence running.
I know The Hunger Games quite well because we have in my culture, but we call it Ramadan. Very similar.
Hive mind, why would you need a bow and arrow if you were getting married in China?
To fight off
bride snatching
bandits.
That is the best band name. Bride snatching bandits.
Okay, anything else?
Closer to the bullseye, the longer the marriage will last.
Closer to the bullseye, longer the marriage will last.
Yeah, and you really said that like that's what it is.
If that's not a custom.
Are you like an anthropologist of China?
Anything else?
Okay.
Ah, deer sticks in mouth.
She's employed a callback.
Yep.
Tight.
That's what I'm saying. What we do for a living is not that hard. It turns out it's awful to find that out, isn't it? What? Anything else?
Instead of throwing a bouquet,
you just fire arrows into the crowd and whoever survives will be married next. Okay. So if you think it's to fend off the bride-snatching bandits, buzz now. If you think it's the closer to the bullseye, the longer the marriage will last, buzz now.
Bzzz.
Again, Tez, you cannot buzz. You cannot buzz. And you've got to go and hunt a deer for the wedding feast and sticks in its mouth, buzz now. They liked it at the time, but they're not backing it. Or it's instead of throwing the bouquet. All right, you've really gone for the closer to the bullseye there. In fact, the groom ceremonially shoots the bride 3 times and then breaks the arrow to ensure the couple stays in love forever. Ned, please explain.
What?
Does it need much explanation?
Well, yes, it does. How do you shoot the bride 3 times?
Well,
and then
you take off the arrowhead, first of all, Deborah.
Even and so, that's quite dangerous. It could go in her eye. It's not going to feel great. You're standing there in your wedding dress. It's your special day. Your dad's just given you away whatever the tradition is.
I don't believe you're insulting the Yuga people's customs like this. It is to represent.
Oh, here comes
it is
Ned.
Genuinely.
Here comes Ned, defending the rights of the oppressed. All right, let's go.
So there's a myth in Yuga culture of this monster who tried to steal a bride and it was shot.
Oh, bride snatching bandit.
Mm. Oh,
yeah, that's close. And it was shot 3 times, and then it went away. But because there aren't many monsters these days, they just shoot the bride instead.
What? Well. And it's the end of the round.
So Bhutanese archers are bad in bed. Tell us what are the scores, please, Ned?
Not a high-scoring round. people should do more research before coming to this show. The motherfucking winners are not living up to either part of their name so far.
How do you know, mate?
Yeah, how do you know?
Ask your mum.
The serial winners, then.
Also, I don't think anyone's made a good your mum joke in a decade, and that was it.
They're not yet.
Serial winners, no points as well. And then the Hive Mind are ahead with 5 points.
Yay!
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The next round is everyone's favorite round.
Idioms!
In English, excessive bureaucracy is red tape, but in Dutch, it is purple crocodile. So what is the meaning of this foreign phrase which we have literally translated into English? Fingers on buzzers. In Persian, they say, there is a donkey inside of a donkey. What do they mean? Motherfucking winners.
So I'm actually trying here. I'm not trying to be funny. Is it like a stupid person will raise a stupid person? Do you know what I mean?
A stupid parent will raise a stupid child.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that personally, but I agree that it could be the answer.
You don't have to stand by the ethics of all the idioms, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Some of them may be against your personal values. Serial winners?
The answer is actually a pregnant donkey.
That's not so much an idiom as just a literal fact, then, isn't it?
Just they don't know what idioms are in Iran. So they play with a very straight bat.
Okay, so it just means a donkey's pregnant.
Yeah, a pregnant donkey.
So you just say, oh, there's a donkey inside that donkey, if you see a pregnant donkey. It's not an idiom for all occasions, is it?
They don't have a word for pregnant.
Yeah, me too.
They just have to say person inside a person.
Yeah, and then they just say donkey inside a donkey for all pregnancies.
That's
the word for pregnant.
So someone's knocked up.
So now women are donkeys. Solid, good. Yeah.
Are you standing
someone
behind that?
Someone is just very stupid.
Stupid,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we say donkey, son of a donkey.
Mm. Oh, do you?
Quoted a putter. Yes, we do say that. Mm. Yeah.
Is that an Arabic
Arab
proverb?
Arab countries.
Asia. We're talking about Asia, guys.
Syria.
Asia.
Arab
okay.
Countries.
There's an Arabic proverb that's donkey, son of a donkey.
Son of a donkey. Double donkey.
Okay. Donkey.
That means something else when I was at uni.
Okay. So stupid. All right. Hive mind. What does it mean?
What you see is what you get.
Inside a donkey. Yeah. So in.
That's what we're saying.
Okay. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
But you realise we're on different teams, right?
Yeah.
You really want to win.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else? Inception.
Yeah.
The movie. It's an idiom for a recent film.
I'd love it if that's what the film is called in Iran.
Yeah.
Donkey starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Anything else? All right. You can see right through them. Okay. If it's what you see is what you get, buzz now. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, buzz now. Is it an idiom for the movie Inception? Buzz now. Or you can see right through them, buzz now. In fact, it means everything is chaos.
What?
There is a donkey inside of a donkey here. Like, you come into a room, everyone doesn't know what they're doing, everything's tipped all over the floor, you go... There's a donkey inside of a donkey, guys.
Like bull in a china shop.
Yes, get your shit together. There's a donkey inside of a donkey.
That is Inception.
Yeah.
Okay. So super confusing.
Okay, all right. So Ned has to decide if they get any points for Inception. Meanwhile, in Romania, they say, you're pulling me out of my watermelons. You're pulling me out of my watermelons. What does that mean? Motherfucking winners.
It means you're taking me out of my comfort zone. Like, okay. Oh, I just love my watermelons. They're so juicy and nice. I love being inside of the watermelon. And then some asshole comes along and is like, oh, come make me some tea.
You're like, no.
Go for a swim. Go for a run, Bisha. Get on a boat. Come out of your watermelon.
Do a triathlon.
Yeah.
I'm making me crazy.
You're making me crazy.
Because we're afraid to the head with the watermelon sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
So you're pulling me out of my head, making me crazy.
You're making me crazy. Mm. All right.
Melon. Inception. Okay.
All right, so you're making me crazy. Hive mind. In Romania, they say you're pulling me out of my watermelons. What does that mean?
Giving me a hard time.
You've given me a heart attack. You're pulling me out of my watermelon. Surprise! Happy birthday! Oh, you're pulling me out of my watermelons. Okay. Anything else?
I'm busy.
Is that an answer? Or it's just, I'm too busy to answer your questions, that lady. I've got emails to send. No. Okay, all right. If you think it's hard time, buzz now. You've surprised me. I'm busy.
What?
Most people have backed that. You're pulling me out of my watermelons. I'm too busy to do anything here. I've got to look after my watermelons. In fact, serial winners had it. You're driving me crazy. Yeah! Well done. In Italy, they say, go get blessed. What does that mean? Go get blessed. The motherfucking winners.
Get fucked, mate.
Get fucked, mate. Okay.
I don't think May concurs with that answer at all. She really wants to win, so I'm scared.
Okay. No, yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah, get fucked. And if you're sending them to a Catholic church, is that right?
What's happened there? Something I...
That took such a long time for you guys to twig.
Oh, I see. Was
that's
that
what
ref-
I meant?
Was that, right. was that a reference to...
Abuse in the church, Deborah.
Yeah. I see. Serial winners. Could you change the subject anyway at all?
Oh, just slightly lighter than that.
It couldn't be any heavier.
We think it's get rickety wrecked.
Get so, like, rickety
go get blessed,
wrecked.
Like, go get drunk. Oh. Go get blessed. Like, you know, just...
Like, just hoe into the sacramental wine.
Yeah. Go get blessed.
Go get rickety wrecked. I'm putting that down.
Rickety wrecked,
son. So our teams have suggested go get fucked, mate, and go get rickety wrecked. Hive mind, we come to you for anything better. What does it mean? In Italy, they say go get blessed.
Have sex.
Slut shaming.
What?
Slut shaming. You mean it's an act of slut shaming? Oh, so if you think somebody has had too much sex or sex with the wrong people, you say, go and get blessed. Get thee to a nunnery. Okay. All right. So, and someone suggested the opposite. So go and have sex. And someone said, go and apologize for having sex. Okay. Oh, it's inception, isn't it?
Maybe they mean like, go get checked up, you know, after.
Go to the clinic.
Oh, I had sex with that guy. Go get blessed.
Okay. Go like, to the... Know. All right, it's
get
not...
Your,
it's,
get your piss checked.
Thank you. That's, we understood.
Okay.
We understood, thank you.
And in a sense, getting the blessing is kind of akin to antibiotics. So as such, we found a way to shorten the NHS crisis. Tribuning Catholic priests in to describe the antibiotics.
Six Hail Marys and four paracetamols.
I love it. We're solving problems.
All right, Hive Mind, have you got anything else?
Sort your life out.
Yeah. That wasn't just a heckle for me, was it?
Yeah.
it probably should be, but... Anything else? What was that over there?
Educate yourself.
Educate... Again, it feels personal now. All right, if you think it's have sex, buzz now. Apologise for having sex. Go and do some Hail Marys, buzz now. Sort your life out, Hive Mind. Or educate yourself.
Italians, man.
In fact, I think, to be honest, the motherfucking winner's had it. It's piss off. So yeah. go get fucked. I think it's fair.
We share the points.
We did. We were going to say that, but we thought we'd be...
That's why we have buzzers, though.
We thought we'd be contrarian. We thought we'd be contrarian and say something else because it's boring to say the same answer. Oh, but we know that we thought the same thing.
Get blessed, Tess.
Get blessed.
Bishop just said get blessed, Tess. Get blessed, Tess is quite a good name for a next Edinburgh show. And it's the end of the round.
So antibiotics and now priest-led. Tell us...
Well, this is nearly unprecedented. All three teams are tied on 10 points.
It's a charming show, Tez. There's no, we're all on each other's sides. There's it's inclusive.
No, charm behind where we win.
There was so much charm.
Hi, I'm Mae Martin.
I'm Bisha Kayali.
And I'm Ned Sedgwick.
And we're so excited to welcome you to a new podcast from BBC Radio 4, Grown Up Land. Each week, join us as we take a topic from the adult world that we're struggling to get our heads around and look to the grown-up land of Radio 4 for answers and advice.
Yeah, we really only look at the big, philosophically complex issues.
How close do we have to be for you to get a friendship tattoo with me? I could do it for you.
Oh, really?
I've done it with a needle and a Bic pen. Like
a needle and a Bic. Were you in prison?
No, I was at a dinner party and things got out of hand.
I mean, that is an out of hand dinner. When a dinner party gets out of hand for me, we crack into their parents' port. Like, we know. Not only that, but every week I'll roam grown-up land in search of a new challenge. I've literally just pierced my ear for this programme, and I have some regrets. So I just got a phone to a couple of piercers. I'm just going to go and get a simple ear piercing, just walk in. A lot of people weren't okay with me recording it. Not really sure what they didn't want me recording.
Just relax.
I'll try.
And the other.
How was it?
The kind of fear of the pain has passed, and now the fear of my friend seeing their saddest mate with a piercing. has kind of set in.
We'll also be joined by a special guest each week to try to unpick your dilemmas and solve your problems.
This week our guest is Ed Knight. He's a stand-up comedian. He was nominated for Best Newcomer at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, this is a question from @Hensers. When I was 10, I wanted to be an accountant desperately. Maths was always my fave subject. I ended up in recruitment and now I'm kind of lost. It sounds like their bliss is accounting. Yeah. Follow your bliss.
Yeah.
And also make it your side hustle until your side hustle becomes your hustle. Like, yeah. Just do it on the side.
Start writing sums in the dust on cars. Yeah. Toilet walls, whatever.
And the amazing Steve Ellie will put everything in perspective for us. Here's another question. This is from @ImaginaryReally, who says, I want to get a tattoo to piss off my parents, but I can't decide what to get. Ideas for tattoos that will annoy my parents the most, please. So this sounds like it's time for Steve Ali's perspective. Steve is from Syria, and he's here every week to help us with the questions that we can't crack ourselves. Steve?
Hey, Imaginary Really. Your problem reminds me of the time when I was living with my parents. They used to annoy me, and sometimes I wanted to do things to piss them off. But then when civil war broke out in Syria when I was 19, and we had to flee, and I had to leave them, I found that me having to get across dangerous borders and message them whenever I could get signal from refugee camps freaked them out so much more than anything else I could do. So I recommend, if you really want to piss your parents off, go stateless and let border police and international governments do it for you.
So welcome to Grown Up Land. Make sure you subscribe so you can catch our adventures in the terrifying adult world on a weekly basis.
The next round is the team's round. In this round, each team has come prepared with a question based on their cultural family background. It could be anything from calling the remote control the tweeter to polyamorous Tuesdays. Let's see what quirky roots these comedians grew from. The motherfucking winners, do you have a question for cereal winners?
One of these is a Canadian snack. I'm going to say three things. Hot Scrooters.
Is this innuendo or not innuendo?
One of them is a snack. Okay. Hot Scrooters, Crickleberry Wine, or Nunavut Nuggets.
Say the last one again, please.
Nunavut Nuggets.
Could you use Nunavut in a different sentence?
I believe Nunavut is one of the Northwest Territories.
Okay.
Right?
We think it's the first one.
You're going with Hot Scrooters.
Although we don't know how
hot Scrooters, yeah.
The answer is Crickleberry Wine.
Oh! Nice.
I invented Hot Scrooters, but I think they sound delicious.
They sound like the twisty what's it?
All right, so the motherfucking winners gets points because cereal winners
Steve.
Got it wrong.
I overruled Steve. So I'm sorry, Steve.
Oh, did you think it was the wine?
Because Crickleberry Wine sounds like some like Huckleberry Finn Alabama type thing. So I thought it might be that, and then I was wrong.
Cereal winners, you've got a chance to get some points now because you throw your question to the hive mind. What's your question?
We have an idiom. In Syria, we say the bowl is missing.
So the bowl is missing, they say in Syria. What does that mean, hive mind?
You're a messy eater.
You're a messy eater. Okay, anything else? You're impotent.
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 I've never heard it said
Come
that way. It's amazing.
No.
Okay, you're impotent, or however you pronounce it. Anything else, have mind?
Not a good provider.
You're not a good provider. Okay.
Oh.
And one there?
All right.
Like sandwich short of a picnic.
Yeah. Sandwich short of a picnic. Okay, so a bowl not short very of bright, a that means. Okay, so messy eater, impotent, not a good provider, or sandwich short of a picnic. Either shout messy, impotent, provider or sandwich. One, two, three.
Sandwich!
They think sandwich short of a picnic, so not very clever. What does it mean?
It means it's very similar to the Persian idiom that you mentioned. There is chaos. Because in the hammams, they use bowls, copper bowls, to wash themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, when there are too many people in there and everyone is just talking or doing everything, the bowl gets missing. Well, people start searching where the bowl is to get washed.
Oh.
So we use it to refer that there is chaos.
So it's chaotic because we can't find the bowl.
It's chaotic.
Hive Mind, do you have a question for the motherfucking winners?
Why do Chileans bring suitcases to dinner?
I don't know. Why do Chileans bring suitcases to dinner?
Okay, don't answer it because the question is for the motherfucking winners. Why do Chileans bring suitcases to dinner?
It's either
like
about
like bad Tupperware.
I think it's either about leftovers and Tupperware, or it's like, if this meal's good, I'm moving in, like that kind of thing. But that's like a compliment thing. It's
but
like,
is it an idiom or is it like
it's
an actual thing?
It's a real custom.
It's a real custom.
Bring suitcase to
Earth. It might be a bit difficult. It's on a special occasion. It's not every dinner.
Oh, okay. So on some
staying over there,
a special occasion, you bring a suitcase for
or
dinner.
For like a wedding dinner, and you bring a suitcase full of gifts.
It's actually on New Year's. You usually bring things that you want to represent the rest of your year. So if you want to travel a lot, you bring suitcases. If you want to make a lot of money, you bring money. If you want to go to the beach, maybe wear a bikini. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't realize the suitcase was meant to be a symbol.
Well, sadly, it was. So, Hive Mind, you get points. Thank you very much. And it's the end of the round.
On the hot scooters, we'll all be well fed. Tell us who's next.
Thanks, gang. Again, all three teams are tied, but now on 15 points.
Wow.
Next is the Smash the Patriarchy round. This is the round where there's a revolutionary rags-to-rebellion unlikely champion. As a point of reference, please see every single existing film about sport. There's only one question in this round, but it is worth double points, giving our current losers a huge opportunity to clinch the title after all. There's no losers, there's only ties. In 1848, in Kentucky, Bill Bowman, a travelling preacher, was challenged to a duel by a desperado. Hoping to show the futility of dueling, the preacher took advantage of the tradition that the challenged person gets to choose the weapons. What weapon did he choose? The motherfucking winners. What did the guy choose to show the futility of dueling?
Words.
Proverbs. Yeah. Heckling proverbs.
They're going to have a word.
Serial
off.
Winners.
Yeah. I think it's something that you throw like a...
Oh,
like a rock or a...
Like a balloon.
Like an onion or a potato or something.
Okay, rock, onion or potato. Choose one of those.
Potato.
Okay, Hive Mind, you got one go because we're out of time. No, too late. You've had your...
Fuck.
Bibles, because he was a priest. Good guess, but serial winners had it. It was potatoes.
What?
Yeah, he chose potatoes.
That's outrageous.
He said, yes, I will duel you, but I choose the weapon potatoes just to show this is ridiculous. They threw potatoes at each other, and after that, dueling was banned in that area. Or went out of fashion.
Wow.
Was it banned or went out of fashion?
Went out of fashion. Yeah, because
the tough guys didn't want to be like, oh, shit, they're going to say tomatoes, then I'm going to look like an idiot. So they started doing something else. The final round is our quickfire round. So, Hive Mind, if you know the answer, you just shout buzz and then the answer. Okay, ready? In which country did disgruntled migrants try to found New Australia in 1892? Speed round.
Antarctica.
New Zealand.
It is in fact Paraguay.
Huh.
Finish this modern Russian saying: vodka without beer is
halal.
No.
Dry.
No.
A good time.
No. It's a waste of money. In Vietnam, what film was named Flying on the Bird's Nest?
Behind Enemy Lines?
No.
Birdman.
Oh, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If you're described as a sourdough, where are you from?
A bakery.
Italy.
No, not a bakery or Italy. Yes.
El Salvador.
You should know this, May.
Canada.
It's somewhere in Canada.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, the one she said, Nickachuckachuckawa.
No. May, I can't believe you don't know this.
What else is in Canada? Yukon.
Yes, it is Yukon, serial winner. What is
the
most...
Saskatchewan, isn't that in the Yukon?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's Yukon is the...
I mean, I'm not giving any points to that. No.
Okay. What is the most common pub name in Britain?
Red Lion. Dog and Duck.
Yeah.
What was that, Red Lion? Dollar. Due to rationing after the Korean War, what processed meat product replaced fish in Korean sushi?
Spam.
Spam is correct. New Zealand is the only country with the right to put images related to what on its currency?
Ned's mum.
Religion.
Yes.
Religion.
Yes. Hobbits. Hobbit is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit. Finish this ancient Greek joke. When the chatty barber asks him, how should I cut your hair? A quick wit answers.
Not like yours.
No.
Fast.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Quietly is correct. Hive Mind scores.
What?
And we're out of time and it's the end of the show.
So Debbie's best ideas all come in bed. So tell us what our sophie said.
In third place, it's a motherfucking winners.
Yay! Congratulate
and
us.
And there's a shock coming, because tied on first place, it's a hive mind and serial winners.
So, we've got a tiebreak situation between hive mind and serial winners. So, motherfucking winners, we need you to provide the tiebreak question. Mae Martin, do you have anything from Canada?
Okay, who said the following statement? Ten years ago, I saw the Cirque du Soleil. This is what I wanted for me.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion is correct. The hive mind wins. The hive mind wins. I'm sorry, serial winners, but you know in your heart.
Our strength lies in the eastern hemisphere, like outside of the world, so, you know.
So our winners get to shout Bhutanese archers' wives' heckles at our losers, while our losers can go get blessed. And I'll leave you with this proverb from Korea. After 3 years at a village schoolhouse, even a dog can recite a poem. So there's hope for us all here at Global Pillage. Please give it up for Mae Martin. Bisha K. Ali. Steve Alley. Tez Ilias. Led Cedric and Pettit's Corner. Mark Hodge on keyboard. You the hive mind. I've been Deborah Francis White. Good night. You have been listening to Global Pillage, hosted and created by Deborah Francis White. The questions were set by Ned Sedgwick. The music was by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Randy Lazimbra. The producer for the spontaneous shop was Tom Selinsky. Program associate was Jess Foster-Kew. Thanks to Zoe Jacob and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, visit globalpillage.net. Day of term, they would always give us watermelon, and then there'd always be fights with the seeds. And then you'd come back from the Christmas holidays, and there'd be watermelons growing in the school in the ground.
Yeah, no, that's
are
not
you serious?
True.
I am 100% serious.
Where did you go to school?
Australia in a beach town.
That's
what we did for entertainment.
Wow.
Watermelon seed fights.
Wait, but does that mean, because you know they say if you swallow a seed, it'll grow inside you?
No, there's acid in your stomach.
It won't though, clearly.
It's full on acid in your stomach.
And also, there's no fertilizer, there's nowhere for it to grip. It's not like soil, is it?
Yeah. Actually, no, it does happen. You have watermelons in your stomach.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.